Welcome back to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by the Chemo Girls. We're coming to you from bright and lovely, hot Southeast Georgia today. Usually, Lucy and I bring this podcast together, but today Lucy is unable to join us. Don't worry, she's doing well and sends her love. I will say that we have been excited about continuing the interview with Shannon Cowie on what to expect the first day of chemotherapy. Shannon did the first half of this interview with us, and we are going to continue from the point of the infusion of chemotherapy. She is the nurse manager at the Cancer Care Centers of the Southeast Georgia Health System. Good morning, Shannon. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Sharon. How are you?
I'm doing great. I think we both have had sort of a crazy morning this morning.
Yes.
Well, during our last podcast, we talked through the first half of what to expect on the first day of chemotherapy. We flushed ports and we have paperwork together and all kinds of things. But now we are going to start from the time of the chemo. What do you call that? Chemo infusion? What do you say about that?
We will say treatment.
Okay.
Chemo treatment, or we just, the nurses, when we're amongst each other, we just say chemo.
Okay.
Ready for the chemo.
Ready for the chemo. Okay. Well, that works for me. All right. So our patient is sitting in the chair, and they're fully prepared and ready. The port has been accessed. So can you please let our listeners know what to expect next?
Well, what they can expect is the nurse is going to dress out in a special gown. And it's not really attractive, but it's not meant to really be attractive. It's just meant to protect us. And we will put on some special gloves. We will retrieve the chemo, which is actually, after it's mixed, it's put in a special bag and then in a receptacle until the nurse is ready to get it. Once the nurse dresses out in her special gown and gloves, she will pick up her chemo, orders in hand, and with another nurse, go to the chair side and check the order against how the bag is labeled. So we want to look at the patient's account number, the patient's name, the chemo they'll be receiving, the dose, how much volume that dose is in, and how long it's supposed to run. And we compare that to the doctor's most current order. Then we ask the patient, while both of us are there, their name and their birth date. And they have to tell us their name, their full name, and their birth date. And then we look at their band and go and check off the account number again, make sure everything matches for the date of service and a medical record number. So we want to make sure that we have double checks all the way, and they do this in the pharmacy as well. So that way we know what we're giving you is the right dose, we're giving you the right medication, and it's the right patient. Everything is double checked, everything is safe.
That's wonderful to know, because it would be really bad not to get your own chemo.
That's right.
Right. So, okay. Typically, I know when I would sit down, a bag would be held and put up on the IV pole following those pre-meds that we've already discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And how many bags normally run during a chemo session?
Well, it looks, you may have a couple that are hanging, and one of those is actually what we call just a flush bag, and that will consist of a normal saline, just a salt water solution, and we actually have a long line attached to that, and we will put up your chemo, which may have a smaller tubing that connects right into the long line of the saline bag. And we run everything on pumps, so we can program these elaborate pumps to do a secondary infusion and with the name of the medication, how long we want it to run. So that bag will be the only bag running. We don't want the saline dripping in at the same time, because then we can't be sure that you've received all the medication, or we want to make sure it hasn't backwashed up into the chemo itself. But these pumps have special mechanisms to keep that from happening. So you may see two bags, but just from the pharmacist in their special tubing, which is a long line, and that will have to be put through a pump itself. And what I normally do is I'll have the saline bag still hanging, but it's not running. And mm-hmm. I'll connect the other main line into a lower port close to the patient, so that I still have the saline access if I need it, but I can run the chemo by itself.
Right. Well, I tell you, this talk about pumps and stuff, this is a little different than the way it was done with me 12 years ago.
A lot has changed.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So that's really exciting. I guess we're always growing and changing and learning in this area. So the length of the actual chemo treatment, does that vary a lot between cocktails?
It does. It depends on what the patient's receiving. Some patients will receive one chemotherapy agent. Some will have a combination of sometimes three or four. So it just depends, and it's going to depend on the length of time the drug is ordered to run. And the physicians order that according to what the recommendations by the manufacturer, the pharmaceutical companies, what they recommend, how long they recommend those drugs to run.
Right.
And the physician will also take into account the patient's status. You know, can we run it at the fastest recommended time, or does it need to go a little slower? It's going to vary.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, once the chemo started coming down that little tube, from the perspective of the patient, or at least this one, I remember feeling like I was about to be poisoned, and it was coming.
Yes.
And so I know one of the things that we wonder, you know, once that stuff comes into our body, how long before we're going to feel the effect? You know, is it going to be soon, or does it vary again with the cocktail that we're receiving?
Well, I will tell you, feeling the effects, you may not feel anything, and we certainly don't want you to feel anything around that port or in your IV. We don't want any kind of bad feelings. We don't want you to feel funny. That's why we give those pre-meds. We want to keep some of that stuff from happening. But the effects of the chemo, a lot of my patients I've been finding have shown to have effects probably 1 to 2 days after. That first day after, they may feel okay, maybe a little run down. The second day, they may feel a little more nauseous, depending on what they received, or they may feel a little more tired than usual, but that's not uncommon. So it's going to vary by the patient. Some just feel great going through all their cycles.
Well, right, because you guys not only give the medication, the pre-med, but you guys give scripts so that the patient is medicated to counteract those side effects for days after
yes.
the treatment.
Well, in the clinic, we do communicate with the offices. So we'll ask the questions as to what has your doctor prescribed for breakthrough nausea when you go home. We want to see that the patient is understanding what they're receiving, and we want to make sure too that we're all on the same page and nobody's missed anything. And the doctors do a wonderful job at making sure that the patients get the scripts they need for the things they're going to need when they go home.
Right.
And it's nice to have it and not need it, rather than need it and not have it.
Oh, yeah. Been there and done that.
Yeah.
All right. So the next thing I'm wondering, if the actual chemotherapy side effects are a little delayed, then what about, I know there are a few things that can happen in the chair. They're not severe. With me, when my port was flushed, I tasted, I guess the only way to describe it is like a rubbing alcohol taste in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I never looked. I'm such a pansy about the whole port thing and the needles. And so I never looked, and my nurses were always amazed at how I was like, oh my gosh, you're flushing my port, because I could taste that. And one of the suggestions that they gave me was to suck on lemon drops. They'll tell me, go ahead and pop a drop, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything terrible or harsh, but the lemon drop did a great job of covering that. So when the Adriamycin, the Red Devil, runs with the 5-FU cocktail for breast cancer patients, which is what I'm familiar with, can you talk a little bit about that metallic taste and some of the things that are suggested for that?
Well, there are some of the chemos, and as you experience, that will give that metallic taste in the mouth. And what we do suggest, even if they don't experience it in the chair, they may experience it, you know, that first week out, especially when they're trying to eat and everything just tastes metallic.
Mm-hmm.
What we do recommend is, yeah, the lemon drops are very good. Even sugarless gum to keep your mouth all nice and wet and moist, keeping hydrated. But the other thing is, too, and it's not something that we all think about, but when you go home, what do you eat with? You eat with a metal utensil. So we've always recommended that our patients switch to maybe some plasticware or something to lessen that metallic effect that it will have on the mouth.
Oh my gosh, that is something I've absolutely never heard, and I love it. That is that is such a great suggestion. I know it is odd to eat foods and your mashed potatoes taste like metal shavings.
Yeah.
And all of that, but you know, one thing that a nurse suggested to me was to get crushed pellet ice. And during the session, when she was going to run Adriamycin, she asked that I would crush the pellets in my mouth, and that did cause the metallic taste not to come. It was amazing. It was very strange. I don't know if you've had any experience with that or not.
We have done that too in the past. We don't do it as much anymore, and it's just as we go on, we have our national organization that we follow, and many of us are members of the Oncology Nurses Society. Every time they do some research, they'll put out, you know, hey, this is the best practice. So we always try to go, not that that was a bad thing, but we always, if there's something better that comes out, we can jump to that.
Okay.
And we'll use that as our standard. So we follow pretty closely with what's going on in the different research arenas as far as nursing to see what we can do to make our patients' experience a little more comfortable.
Okay, so is there something that they do suggest in the chair to circumvent, I guess, that?
Not so much in the chair anymore. It's usually the aftercare, you know, making sure that we have good oral hygiene, making sure that, like I said before, just keeping your mouth moist, sugarless gum, sugarless candies, lemon drops, that sour taste seems to counteract any of that metallic.
Oh, yeah.
So that is always a very good idea.
And is there any reason why someone would not do the pellet ice?
I don't see any reason
Okay. That
they would not do it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So after that, you know, I know a lot of people are very worried about just being terribly sick during the session. And so all that's great, great information. When they are receiving their cocktail, are there a number of meds that are pretty typical, or I'm sure it varies a lot?
As far as the
cocktail themselves, I know.
The cocktail itself. Well, it depends on what types of cancer we're seeing. And there's certain regimens that are pretty standard for, like, breast cancer. But there are some of the agents that you could use that you may use in breast cancer that you can be used for colon cancer. So, and it's just through research that physicians and research nurses find this out. They've developed a drug to fight a certain disease, and then we find out later that it can also help with another one. So we see a lot of, we typically get a lot of breast cancer patients and lung cancer and colon cancer. Mm-hmm. So we see the medications that are typical for those that are the standard.
I see. Yeah, the incidence of those cancers really just outrageous. So yeah. I can see that. All right, so we've been through the pre-meds, we've been through the chemo itself. What happens as you guys are wrapping up that very first session?
Well, what happens is after we are done with all our chemo, we make sure that we give a nice flush so that port is all cleaned out, that all the chemo has gone through our primary tubing from that saline, and we disconnect the IV tubing, and then we'll typically flush again with another 20 cc's of normal saline from a syringe into the port, and then we will flush it. The last flush will be about 5 cc's of catwalk flush, and then we'll get ready to de-access. And that takes but a second after we get the dressing off. I always ask my patients, okay, deep breath and hold it, and I pull the needle out. And they're like, wow, I didn't even feel that. So
that's another nice hint. I know I was all about the Imla cream when the needle was going in.
And actually, that works great. And patients that, you know, if they're a little skittish of the needle, that always is a little help. And many of my patients who use it say that it does numb that area. It takes a little bit of the sting out.
So, it does.
You know, whatever helps relieve the anxiety, I think, why not use it? And usually after I de-access them that first time, and they're looking, they say, okay, am I ready to go? yeah, you're free to go. And we always make sure that they have their return appointments, and that if there's any other questions or concerns they have, you know, feel free to ask. Or, you know, if they get home and they think of something, or think of something they wanted to ask one of us in the clinic, that they can always call back. And we'd be more than happy to answer any question they have.
You know, that's one of the things I really, really love about chemo nurses in general, but very specifically with Southeast Georgia health system, is that, you know, you guys seem to specialize in, you know, the technology is there, the treatment is there, and all of that, but you do a fantastic job of communicating with your patients and connecting with them. And that is just such a big deal as a patient. So we appreciate you very much for that.
Well, we do love our jobs, and we love our patients. And it's just, I know for me, it's fulfilling, and I love what I do. So can't go wrong. When you love what you do, you just, you can do it well.
Right, right. You thrive in that profession, and we're all about thriving. So, okay, the last thing that I wanted to ask you about were, you know, blood counts and stuff. I know that very typically is something that you guys keep a real close eye on, and we can expand on this later. I know that I received shots following chemotherapy the day after, the week after. Mm-hmm. Would you like to talk very briefly about that, kind of give an overview?
Some of our physicians will go ahead and prescribe what's called Neulasta, mm-hmm. and that's to build up to keep the white cell count from dropping. Mm-hmm. And we usually will see blood counts drop within 7 to 14 days after the first treatment. So, you know, in the past, we used to wait to see that drop, and then we would give Neupogen for 3 to 5 days, which, you know, is just a small little injection, but they're having to come in every day. When Neulasta was developed, that is one shot that could be used 24 hours after chemo. So a lot of our physicians would use it as a prophylactic measure to keep the drops, the counts from dropping. Some of our patients who are first-timers, not all of them will get it because the physician wants to see what the effects will be. Others, they go ahead and order it for that next day. Another drug, Procrit, is for red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times our doctors will go ahead and make sure we have an order on hand. And we usually have parameters to go by. So when the labs are drawn for treatment clearance, if their hemoglobin is below 10 for a cancer patient receiving treatment, we can go ahead and administer Procrit, and that will help boost the red blood cells. But we can't give that until we see that drop.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then Aranesp, is that still something that they use?
They still use it. Our facility stays with Procrit,
mm-hmm.
but they do still use Aranesp.
Okay. Well, I know I had all of those, so there were three that I heard, so I was wondering about that. All right, well, I so appreciate you coming back and wrapping up all this information for our listeners. It will help the newbie coming in and those who come in with the patient. They really also are wondering, what's going to happen to my loved one? What am I going to be watching? And how are they feeling? And so I think all of this is just great insight for them as well. So thank you very much, Ms. Shannon, for coming and wrapping up this little short series on what to expect your first day of chemotherapy.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's my pleasure.
And I know we put you on the spot a little bit, but it is time for our not just surviving, but thriving tidbit of the day. And I was wondering if you might have a little something prepared for us.
I do. I've been thinking about something that is really important to me. I know personally is, you know, to live life with no regrets, no matter who was wrong, you know, always, you know, go ahead and make it right. There is nothing worse than to turn around and that loved one not be there. And you never got that chance to tell them how you feel or, you know, even say you love them.
Oh my gosh, I agree.
It's so, you know, live life with no regrets. You know, do what's right. But, you know, life is too short for little things that don't matter in the long run. So, you know, always make that move.
Yeah, you know, be the one to reach out. I agree with
exactly.
that. And you know that when you hold that stuff in, it eats at you as well, and it's not even good for your health. And I think that's just wonderful advice. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
And so this is a wrap, guys. And we will be back next time with some wellness information for you. So this is Sharon and Miss Shannon, and we are not just surviving, but thriving with you. Bye now.